Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you give to us, that even as we come to your word, we open our ears, our mind, and our hearts to the word of truth, the word of grace, the word of life. We thank you for everything that you are doing to our life and to our family. We ask for your blessing as we look into your words. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said about the thief purpose, the main purpose, and the main and the only purpose of the thief. He does not come to say good things about you. He does not come to bless you. The thief's main purpose is to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the thief can come in many shapes, in many forms, and in many colors. It can come in broken relationship. It can come in financial crisis, or even health, sickness, and even right now with this pandemic, COVID-19. The thief comes for only one purpose. Everything that Christ has given to you, everything that Christ has done for your life, he wants to steal it. He wants to kill it. He wants to destroy it. The thief is a stealer, is a killer, and the destroyer. You see, from the time in the garden till today, when you are faced with the thief, have you ever physically been faced by a thief? What are you going to do? Are you going to be frightened, fearful? Are you going to flee, run away from the thief? Are you going to freeze? Some people, when they meet with a thief, I remember one time when I was teenagers, I was walking, and two person came behind with a knife and said, "Give me your watch." And I freeze. Took my watch. But after they go, I said, I should have turned back and give them a punch. But it does happen, you know. Or you can fast. Some people, they like to fast. They want to talk and fast and talk about the thief. And when you talk about the thief, you only make and magnify the thief. All these are very negative, unproductive reaction about the thief. What should you do when the thief comes? I'll tell you what you should do. You should stand your ground and fight against the thief. This thief that Jesus talked about, Satan, the devil, and his foe come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You're not going to run. You're not going to freeze. You're not going to fast. You're going to stand. Stand firm. As what Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 6. He called us to put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoe of peace, the shoe, take up the shoe of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Paul said that when the thief comes, you need to stand and put on the whole armor of God. God has provided you the provision that you need to protect yourself and to fight against the enemy. Say amen to that. And then not only that, he said when you put on the whole armor of God, you need to cover with this word called prayer. Pray in the Spirit. Pray all kinds of prayer. Pray unceasing prayer. And when you pray, you stand your ground and pray. In fact, we are to stand and pray unmovable, unshakable, because the victory is already won at Calvary. Jesus Christ did it all. Say amen to that. He has paid the price. He has destroyed Satan. He has disarmed him. In fact, the Bible tells us very clear that we can see that he has got no power unless we allow him and we permit him. So we stand and we receive the victory of Jesus Christ, and we stand in the position of victory. We are not fighting for victory. The victory is already won. We are not hoping for victory. The victory is ours. So we stand in the position and in the posture of victory, because Christ's victory on the cross becomes our victory as children of God. I want to look at a passage in the history of Israel, in a place called Pasdami. It's a place called the Boundary of Blood. It was this place that Israel frequently fought against the Philistine. This was the place that King David, when he was a shepherd boy, defeated Goliath. This was a place that always incurred headache to the Israelite. Saul and his men were there. In fact, his men were all afraid, were all hiding, even Saul, until David stepped in and he faced Goliath and killed Goliath in this location. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, again, you see the old enemy, the Philistine, coming to the same location to fight against Israel. You need to learn this thing. The enemy will often come back to the old battleground, to the battleground that you have overcome him, to the battleground that you have struggled, and God in his grace and strength and help you to win that battle. The enemy will come back, and he will come back. And I've seen it in my own Christian journey. The greatest battle that has been fought is always over the same thing, repeatedly. Things that I have dealt with, the victory that God has given me, and then the enemy will come back in different shape, in different form, and in different color. You remember Jesus Christ, when he was tempted, the Bible tells us that Jesus overcame temptation in the wilderness, and the devil left him for a season, looking for another opportunity. Wonder Paul in the Bible tells us, do what? To be watchful. He tells us to be sure that you think you can stand, be careful lest you fall. We need to stand. We must be on guard and stand, because we stand as an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Amen? We stand as the overcomer. Paul calls us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to verse 14. He said, stand firm against the strategy of the enemy. What is the strategy of the enemy? It's always lie and deception. It comes in lie and in deception. He says, stand firm against all the strategy of the enemy. Having done all, having put on the armor, having done everything that you need to do, pray. The Bible says, you stand. And stand therefore. And as we look into 2 Samuel 23, there you find the Philistines surround David's army. And it was such a great threat that the scripture tells us that all the men of David ran away. They fled beside David and one of his mighty men named Elisha. You know, both of them took their position in the middle of the barley field. They stand and they stand their ground and they fought against the Philistine. They refused to give up the land. They refused to give up their inheritance. They fought against the Philistine and they refused to surrender to the enemy. This is what we have to do. When the enemy comes against us, we must refuse to give in to the enemy. This is mine. God has given to me. I will not allow the thief to come and steal from me. So both of them stood firm while the other fled away. And then after the battle was gone, two against the Philistine, the rest came back and enjoyed the spoil of war. Just two verses in 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 and verse 10. What an inspiring story. In verse 9, next in rank among the three was Elisha, son of Dodai, the descendant of Aroer. Once Elisha and David stood together against the Philistine, while the entire Israel army had fled. How do you like that? Only two, and the whole army has ran away. He killed the Philistine until his hand was too tired to lift up his sword. And the Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army did not return until it's time to collect the plunder. You know, there are people who just want to enjoy life, who just want the benefit. But here are two people who was willing to stand and fight for what is theirs. You need to fight for your family. You need to fight for your children. You need to fight for your marriage, because it is God's intention that you are blessed, that you are in His grace, that you are experiencing Him. Even when you go through difficult time, you are experiencing Him, and you have to hold on and stand and say, this is what God has ordained in His word. I will not allow the enemy to steal from me. Elisha was a mighty warrior. I want to share with you five keys how to stand your ground as an overcomer in Jesus Christ. No matter what comes upon you, what is thrown at you, accusation, trouble, problem, finance, distress, and even COVID-19, we must stand our ground and say, Lord, your word says so. I believe what you say. You have done this for me. And I'm not going to give in to the enemy, to the thief of fear, to the thief of doubt, to anything that will cause my heart to be troubled. The first key that make Elisha such a great, mighty man, that was able to stand. The first key is understanding and doing. Verse 9 tells us, and after him was Elisha, the son of Dolai, the Aro. Who is this Elisha? Let me share with you his family tree. It's always important to know your root, where you come from. People who has no root, that has no history, will struggle in their life. So, what is his family tree? It starts with Jacob. Jacob have two wives, Leah and Rachel. Two women in the house is always trouble. And so they fought to have, to win Jacob's heart. And there was a competition among them. And what was the competition? Let's see who can give more children to Jacob. So the competition began. One, another. And in the competition, Issachar was born. He is the ninth son of Jacob, the fifth of Leah. So, our mighty warrior, Elisha, was from where? The family tree of Issachar. And the Bible does tell us in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that the men of Issachar have an understanding of the time, the season, and they knew what Israel ought to do. He was from the descendant of Issachar. He understood the time and knew what to do, while others understood it is dangerous time to be in. The only thing they knew was to run away, but not for Elisha. He understood it is the time for him to stand with his king. It's a time for him to shine for God. It's a time for him to hold on to what is his. And he knew what to do. You see, for him, running away is not an option. He stood and he fought next to King David. It is time to shine when darkness dawns on you. It's time to rise up to the challenge when all others may say it is impossible. You see, other men in Israel, in David's army, saw it as dangerous time. But for Elisha, he saw it as opportunity time. What do you see? Problem or opportunity? What do you see? Challenge or opportunity? It's important for us to understand the time and to know what to do. Jesus spoke about the religious leader. He said that you guys can see the weather and you know what to do with the weather, but you cannot discern. You cannot interpret and discern the sign of the time. Is it possible for us? not to understand what God is doing. What is happening in our world is not without God knowledge. God knows what is happening, and you need to understand what God is doing and fall in line to what He is doing. I'll tell you one thing He's doing to me. He's making me lighter. I hope He's making you lighter. It's making me to realize what is important, what is not important. It helps me to prioritize my life. I must say, I have spent more time with my wife than I usually do. I mean, it's important because if we don't understand what God is doing, we will miss what God is doing. The religious leader that Jesus talked about that did not understand the time was the same problem with their forefathers. Remember, God took them out of Egypt, and as they were so close to the promised land, at Kadesh Barnea, they did not know it was their time to enter the promised land. The moment was now for them. The moment for their future was now. What did they do? They did not enter in because of unbelief. Tomorrow was too late. Yesterday was over. They did try to attend to enter the next day. But the Bible tells us many of them were killed. Do you understand the time of God? The kairos moment of God, the appointed time, the divine time of God. Because when you see the time of God, there's a season for everything, a time for everything. The kairos moment, which means it's a moment of opportunity. What is happening in our world is also a moment of opportunity for some of us. What we see with our eyes, we only see crisis, difficulty, and challenge. Yet, it's also the time of opportunity for destiny, opportunity to God's intended future. Like I say, if I ever thought that we were live stream, it's not in my mind at all. But it was an opportunity time for us to be able to live stream. And this live stream will also be a message that reach out to others. That we as a church can now say we can be from Perth and beyond because you do not know how far the live stream can go. So for him, Elisha, he understood the time and he proved himself to be a mighty warrior. He did not run away. He stood and fought with the king. Some of us may say, and sometimes I hear Christians say, I do not know what to do. I'm lost. I'm sure you heard that. Maybe you are the kind of person, I do not know what I'm to do. I'm lost. Let me tell you, Christian, when you do not know what to do, do the last thing that you are supposed to do. What was the last thing that Jesus called us to do? Go and preach this gospel to the world. What was the last thing that Jesus called us to do? To obey Him, to love Him, to love one another. For this man, Elisha, his last assignment given by the king was to fight, not to run. So he received no other assignment. He stood there and he fought next to the king that was doing his assignment. Maybe this morning, you are those who feel sad in your heart. I have been there before. I miss God's timing for my life. And you blame yourself and you become discouraged. But I want you to know God is the God of second chance. Another word for God's timing is God's season. There are seasons in God. Even though you may miss your season, you can prepare yourself for another season in God. And how do you prepare? You prepare by sowing. Sowing is seed time. And when there is seed time, there will always be what? Harvest time. It's ordained by God in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Amen. That if you think that you have missed, stop beating your head, stop hating yourself, stop blaming other people. Start sowing. And when you sow, it is seed time. And God ordained in His word. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, in due season, we will reap if we do not what? Faint. I stand for what is mine, for what God has given me. My children, my family, my marriage, Grace City Church, because I understand the time and I know what needs to be done. The second is to partner with like-minded people. In verse 9, Elisha was one of the three mighty men with David. Partner with like-minded people. When you find people love God, you will love God. When you find people love the world, you will love the world. So you need to get ourselves surrounded with people that is of the same mind and of the same heart with only one goal, and that is the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, when you partner with like-minded people, they add to you, they empower you, they cheer you on. They give you energy and strength. They don't drain on you. They stand with you. David was a giant killer. And he defeated Goliath as a shepherd boy. And now, Elisha partnered with him to fight the same enemy at the same location. There's one thing, when you fear, other people fear. When you laugh, other people laugh. When you cry, other people cry. When you rejoice, other people rejoice. When you give, other people give. Because there is such a power of influence. It is contagious, whether it's positive or negative. So you partner with like-minded people. And there is tremendous power when you power with like-minded people. People of the same mind and the same heart. And as you work together for a common purpose, I tell you what, like-minded people sing the same tune, march the same heartbeat. And I tell you what, they accomplish much, much more than what one person can accomplish. You know, we love to read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 12. This is a Bible verse that has been used many times in a wedding. Definitely in a wedding, not in a funeral. In a wedding. And what do you say? Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity is the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And so they look at that and say, well, I need someone, so I have to find a wife. No, no, no. It's talking about partnership. Finding people of the same mind, same heart, same purpose, and working together, empowering and strengthening one another. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You know, the Christian journey is a glorious, great, interesting journey, but it can also be a lonely journey. And that is where you need like-minded people to come. Because there are moments in your life where you are down. You need someone who share the same faith, have the same love for Christ like you, and come and say, brother, come on, let's press on. Come on, brother, you are tired. Let me carry your load for a while. Because you can't live this Christian life by yourself. God has never intended to save you and put you in an island. God saved you and connect you to the body of Jesus Christ, to the brothers and sisters, so that in partnership with the same heart and the same mind, that you are able to strengthen one another. The one may be overpowered. Two can defend themselves. You see, this passage talks about one person. If he's fighting with a sword, he's fighting in the front, but he has nothing behind. And his enemy surround him. But when two person is fighting with a sword, they stand what? Back to back. So they protect each other. And this is the power that God wants us to realize that. That when we understand the power of partnership, like Jonathan and his armor bearer. His armor bearer tell him, do what is in your heart. I am with you. How about Moses, Aaron and Hur? When he was up in the mountain, his hand was tired. They hold his hand. And who was below fighting? Joshua. When his hand was being held up by the other two, the victory is theirs. We need partnership. We need partnership. And I want you to recognize that when you partner people of the same mind, of the same heart, it increases your faith, it increases your hope, it increases your love level. In fact, it gives you the ability to believe that all things are possible with God. I'm thankful that each week, as I partner with the live stream team, things has happened and we are able to live stream. I can't do it by myself. I'm thankful for the pastors that are in Grace City Church that we partner together to serve God and to serve you. So it is important for you this morning to partner with like-minded people, with those who love God and love His kingdom. Partner with like-minded people in the powerhouse so that you can pray, encourage, and strengthen one another in the Lord. You know, I find out in this period of time when we cannot really gather, the powerhouse through Zoom are connecting, and it's so powerful because they are able to see each other. Not just hear, see each other's face and encourage and pray for one another. And you know, we have our prayer connect. Partner with us so that we can pray for the church, the pastors, the leaders, the workers, and the community. We need your partnership. As the restriction begins to unfold, we need partnership so that we can come back together to build the house of God as what? As living stone that God can use. Thirdly, God plus bring victory. Verse 10 tells us that when the Philistine came and attacked, our dear friend Eliza has a sword in his hand. And as he used the sword, he became weary. He became weary. The Lord brought about a great victory. There's one thing called human ability, human skill. But human is limited. Human needs partnership, need the God plus, the God factor, the God equation, the God dimension. And you add God to your human ability, it brings and you reach a level that you cannot do it by yourself. Here was Eliza with his sword. And as he used, he became tired that he needs God to step in. He must have used the sword many times in his practice. And able to use the sword is something that he has to learn. But able to use the sword powerfully, skillfully, extraordinary is something that you need who? Need God. Wonder Paul always talk about He working in me, willingly, energizing me and strengthening me so that I'm able to do. Skill is something you need to learn. If you are a student, you don't study, you can pray to God, you're not going to have good result. Skill is important. I used to have a firewood place. And I used to use an axe to try to cut the wood. I'm telling you, in my early days when I used the axe, I did not know how to use. In fact, I was more tired using the axe. And the wood was not cutting. The wood was breaking me, then I breaking the wood. Until I learned how to use it correctly. So here was Eliezer. He knows how to use the sword. He had trained himself to use the sword. But in the battle, he became tired. He became weak. His muscle aches. And the sword that was very light, as he began to use it, the sword became very heavy. Here is where, after he used all that he can, he needs the God plus. I think there are moments in our life we did everything we can. We just need the God plus. The God to intervene. The God to step in. And I'm telling you, it's at that spot. It's at that spot that God stepped in and gave him a great victory. You see, it's easy for us to tell ourselves, I want to give up. It's too hard. But when you have God on your side, say amen to that. When God is for you, who can be against you? When you have God in your side, you have unlimited resources. Call upon Him and He will answer you. And in the moment of His weakness, and of His tiredness, of His weariness, God step in and strengthen him and give him a great victory. I'm telling you today, don't give up. As you are standing to hold what is yours, to fight for what is yours, God will step in. God will step in. Whether it's your personal life, your marriage, or your business, God will step in. And He, with His enablement, with His empowerment, with His help, will bring success and victory into your life and into your situation. This morning, never give up on what God calls you to be or to do. Remember, use all that you have and look to God to add, to empower you. The fourth key is cling to the Word of God. The Bible tells us that His hand cling to the sword. God has given us a sword in our hand. What is the sword that God has given us in our hand? This is the sword, the Word of God, the living Word of God, the unchangeable Word of God. This is the sword that God has given to us. And the Bible tells us that His hand cling to the Word, to the sword. You know what does it mean by the word cleave to the sword? It means two things. It means His hand was welded to the sword, or His hand was soldered to the sword. That means He holds the sword so tightly that nothing can take the sword from Him. I'm telling you, there are times and situations in your life, the only thing you have is the Word of God. The only thing you can hold on after you do everything, after you pray, after you cry, after you shout, after you've done everything that you have done, is to hold on to the sword, which comes the promise of God. And that's what Eliezer did. He hold on to the Word. That the Word of God becomes so important to him. I tell you, we are living a time of information explosion. There are so much information. One button on your computer and you get all the things you want to know. But Come back to where? Come back to this book, the Bible. It is still the number one seller in the world. And it's still the number one most loaded. Just the Bible version, more than 140 million people have downloaded. I'm telling you, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. In a time where we live in, where people has questioned the word, has rejected the word, has modified the word to suit them, this is the most important time that we need to hold on to this word of God with our dear life, because outside of this word, we have no answer to human crisis, to human life. So our friend, hold on to that word. And I believe and I pray that the word of God will soak you, the word of God will fill you, the word of God will penetrate through you, that there are God's word will begin to energize, empower, and quicken you. And that's how I see. I see you who love the word. When you do your Zoom powerhouse, looking at the word, studying the word, because it is this word that you need, that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It is this word that you hold in your hand, that you are able to pull down, to cut down every doubt, reasoning, imagination, or argument against you. With Jesus did not fight the devil and say, I feel, I think. Jesus fought the devil and say, it is what? It is written. The Son of God need to use the word, it is written. So must we. It is written. God's word say, God's promise are. And I encourage you, hold on to the word, believe the word, let it become part of your life. The last key, blessed to be blessed. And the people returned after him only to plunder. Here you have Elisha. He has such a great victory. You know, when you have great victory, when you have great success, you can become what? You can become proud. You can become selfish. And this is a subtle enemy that he has to fight against, selfishness. He can say, this is mine, all is mine. I have worked hard for it. I have fought for it. I have given my life for it. But he forgot. The victory that he has came from who? Came from God. So he did not keep the spoil for himself. He chose to share his victory, his reward, and his blessing with others. Whenever you bless others with what God has given you, with the increase that comes into your hand, it reflects the generosity of the heart of God. Prosperity message, without blessing others, blessing the poor, the needy, the fatherless, and the widow, is an incomplete message. I pray to God that everyone at Grace will be blessed and blessed and blessed. But I pray to God that when they are blessed, they are not going to hold it, but they will learn to bless others and be a blessing. You see, selfishness shows the smallness and the pettiness of heart. But when you share and you bless others, it shows the generosity of God. This morning, the thief comes. You need to stand. Stand and stand. For your health, for your children, for your grandchildren, for their destiny. Trust God. Stand and pray. Stand and proclaim. Stand and declare the word of God over them. And when you do that, you will become like one of David's mighty men, God's mighty man and mighty woman. Let's pray. This morning, the thief comes for only one purpose, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life. And have it not just life, but an overflowing, a superabundant life. You can't fight the thief yourself. You need Jesus Christ, who has overcome the thief. This morning, stand against every trick, every strategy of the enemy that is used against you, against your children, against your work, against your business, against your marriage. Stand and say, God's word has said, it is written that I am an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Not my might, not my power. By the Spirit of God. I want to close in prayer. And if you are watching me this morning, and your prayer is, I'm fighting this enemy in front of me. These thieves do not seem to want to go away. He is stronger than me. I need someone to stand with me. Someone of like-minded mind and heart to pray with me where you are right now. Just lift up your hand to the Lord. I'm going to pray. Just lift up your hand to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that your words had declared that at the cross you had defeated the thief. You had defeated Satan and his foe. They are powerless in your name and in your presence. So Lord, I just bring those hands that is raised before you. You know, Father, what they are facing. I pray, Father, you give them that strength to stand upon your word, to stand upon what you have done for them, that they can believe and they can see the glory of God. I pray for your grace to empower them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For your giving, you can give through the internet. The details are in the bank. And there is an offering box at the table for you also. And if you are watching this for the first time and the message has touched you, write to us. Write to us and email to us at op@gracecitychurch.org.au. And we would like to be in touch with you. The Lord bless you till next week. Amen.